Welcome, welcome, welcome to an sort of emergency podcast, college football playoff ranking podcast, if you will. My name is Brandon Drum. I'm here with Parker Thune, and this is the OU Insider Under the Visor Sooners podcast powered by Riverwind Casino. Oklahoma, number 8 in the latest college football rankings, college football playoff rankings. Gonna get interesting, Parker. Gonna get interesting. Oklahoma has Missouri, who's 22, coming to town this weekend. The good news, Tennessee being 20th was very, very big for them. Obviously, Alabama at number 10. So they have two top 20 wins, three top 25 wins, according to the college football playoff poll, with a chance to have a fourth this weekend. So this is a big, big, big weekend, because I imagine if Oklahoma beats Missouri and then Missouri beats Arkansas, they're going to end up back in the top 25 poll, one way or the other.
And either way, like any way you slice it, a ranked win is a ranked win in the moment. Oklahoma has four ranked wins on the season. One of them is Auburn. Auburn is obviously not ranked anymore. But generally speaking, it's considered a ranked win if the team was in the top 25 at the time.
I agree with that.
Missouri, Oklahoma will have that insulation. Should they beat Missouri this weekend, it's going to be the first time since 2015 that they've had five top 25 wins in a single season. Going 3-0 on the road in the SEC, obviously a huge data point that the committee will consider. And when you look at today's most recent CFP projection from the committee, there you have Oklahoma sitting at number 8. And as it stands, they would host a first-round playoff game against Notre Dame. Awesome. How much fun would that be? Obviously, that's not going to hold. But if the season ended today, that would be a heck of a mid-December matchup at Owen Field. Two of the most iconic brands in college football battling for a spot in the quarterfinals.
Parker, there is a chance. The way that this thing lined up, the way that they ranked it, and I believe USC was 15th, right? If I remember correctly off the top of my head. I don't have it sitting in front of me, but if they beat Oregon this weekend, there is a world where they come in at number 10 and Oklahoma's at 7. That means Lincoln, Muleshoe, Lincoln, I don't like playing SEC teams, Riley, will be coming to play none other than his former team in Norman, Oklahoma.
Well, assuming he's still USC's head coach by the time of the first round of the
that is very, very true. That is very true. But as things stand today, that is a very, very plausible possibility right now.
Oh, and while to consider how many dominoes could fall in this playoff field, with regard to coaching candidates potentially being elsewhere, because would anyone bet money on Lane Kiffin still being Ole Miss's coach by the time the playoffs roll around at this point? With everything that's happened over the last 48 hours, the safe answer is no. You look at Tulane and James Madison, which are going to be battling it out more than likely for that group of five nomination, North Texas in the fight as well. But Tulane's head coach, John Summerall, probably going to be a P4 head coach very soon here. Same goes for North Texas and Eric Morris. The same goes for Bob Chesney and James Madison. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of buzz behind closed doors that he's the front runner at UCLA, which is weird, isn't it? It's kind of a bizarre fit. Bob Chesney, who spent his entire career out on the East Coast, Eastern Seaboard, for him to go all the way out to UCLA and be their guy would be odd, but he's also won everywhere, so you couldn't bet against him. Regardless, Oklahoma is one of the few programs that is going to have almost total insulation from all of the chaos of the coaching carousel. Because even if you're not talking about head coaches moving here, there, and everywhere, there may be other programs in this CFP field. Think of a team like Oregon with Will Stein as their OC. Even if they don't lose their head ball coach, they may lose assistants who take other jobs, potentially head coaching jobs or coordinator gigs elsewhere. Oklahoma is going to have almost total insulation from all of that. And so you would expect that they'll get to roll into playoff season, assuming they can take care of business against Missouri and LSU with the exact same equation that they've been working with all season.
Let me throw another thing out at you. Let's say Alabama beats Auburn, right? And they're going to win this weekend. I can't remember if they play, but I think it's like Tennessee. I can't remember. It's somebody really, really easy. It's a small
Eastern
college,
Illinois.
Eastern Illinois. I knew it was like somebody that's not having a good year. There is buzz with Kalen DeBoer in Penn State right now
Well,
as
I
well.
mean, yeah, and just to, just to pick one example there, sure, Kalen DeBoer and Penn State, like that's a thing, but you can go on down the list, man. Georgia, Glenn Schumann is going to be in the conversation for jobs, more than likely head coaching jobs, in addition to other coordinator posts. Colin Klein, the OC at Texas A&M, he's a popular name. And will continue to be a popular name on that high-end G5, low-end P4 level when it comes to programs that are going to be searching for a new head coach. Indiana, Kurt Cignetti's got an awesome recipe there, but how long is it going to be until Mike Shanahan or Bryant Haynes gets snagged by another program to be a head coach? So, man, the way this all has the potential to shake out in what will be one of the wildest coaching carousels of the 21st century, if not the absolute wildest. Oklahoma's excellently positioned here because, in all likelihood, they are not going to be affected at all by all of this.
I mean, maybe a Joe John Finley leaves or something to that extent, or an analyst here or there, but I agree. I don't think position coach, I don't think coordinator. I really can't foresee a lot of shakeup right now. The staff seems very happy with each other. Oklahoma, from everything I've heard, will, try to make it monetarily feasible to keep everybody as best they can. I think a guy that you look at, which, from a college football playoff present day standpoint, isn't something that you really worry about. But from a strategic future program building standpoint, and I was talking to somebody within the program that literally shouted this dude out today to me and said, Stacy Ford is that dude. He's been putting in the work on the recruiting trail and helping out a ton with the staff in the front office, making a lot of things work. And I said, well, you better pay the man. And they said, you damn right, you better pay the man. I would imagine, like, those are the little things that could shake Oklahoma up. And because he's also the lead retain guy, right? As far as like
Director of player personnel and retainment.
So like you have Drew Hill, the director of player personnel and NFL liaison. He's director of player personnel and NFL retainment, talking about Stacy Ford. So, or at player retainment. So that's a critical piece, even going into the playoffs for Oklahoma, to retain these guys, not let them hit the portal before the playoffs start. So all of these things, there's so many dominoes, Parker, that could just crapshoot somebody's playoff potential with the way college football's set up right now, and in particular because of the coaching carousel. It's going to get wild with the portal. It's going to get wild with the coaches, with assistants. And Oklahoma, like you said, is sitting there ready to pounce instead of be pounced on. And I think that is probably the biggest key going in there that could allow Oklahoma to make a run, whether they're on the road or at home, right? Like, I think that's kind of the key. And speaking of, there's a lot of things that could work in Oklahoma's favor that could keep them having a home game.
Well, and I think that's the most important takeaway from this rankings release is that you understand all Oklahoma has to do. I mean, we already suspected this was the case, but it's been confirmed now. All Oklahoma has to do in order to be hosting a playoff game in mid-December is just win their last two. That's it.
I
Win your
can't
last two, you're
imagine
hosting a
Oregon,
playoff game.
right? Right, Oregon's ahead of them. And that's where I was going. Sorry to interrupt, but Oregon's ahead of them.
Oregon is one slot ahead of them. Yes.
Correct. Let's say they beat USC. They still, if I understand it correctly, would have to go play Ohio State in the Big Ten title game. I'm going to base my odds on that. They're probably not beating Ohio State. The odds of Oklahoma, if they went out not staying at 7 or 8, it feels a little unlikely, right? Like if you went out, you're going to be 7, 8, 6, 7,
As long
eight,
as you're north
right?
of 8, you're hosting a playoff game.
Correct.
As long as Oklahoma doesn't drop, and again, it's tough to imagine, it's tough to envision them dropping if they win their last two, one of which would be a top 25 win.
The only thing you worry about is Alabama winning the SEC, and if everything stayed chalk and Oregon won, and you're just seeing stuff move in front of Oklahoma a little bit and the shuffle up, that would be the worst case scenario for OU right now. 100%. But that's a lot of things working against Oklahoma at that point. If not a single team, like outside of Oregon, if everybody else just started losing randomly at the end, that would be the worst case scenario for Oklahoma. Absolute worst. So,
The important thing, the most important thing, is that Oklahoma is ahead of Notre Dame, because that
that's
won't
very important.
change.
Yep.
That won't change. As long as Oklahoma is ahead of Notre Dame, they've more or less, like not, with 90% certainty, locked up a home playoff game if they take care of business last two
Yeah.
games.
Man, I we talked about it before the season, Parker, like this would be a possibility, but now that it's here, it just kind of seems surreal, right? Like you look back at the Texas and Ole Miss days, right? When Oklahoma blew the game against Ole Miss, and it felt like it was just a far cry, just kind of a you're wishing on a star that Oklahoma was going to make the playoffs at that point, right? It didn't feel like the season was moving in that direction. 4 weeks later, here we are talking about Oklahoma playing 22nd ranked Missouri. You win, you're either staying at 8 or moving to 6 or 7, depending on what happens in front of you this week. Instead of, could you get in a New Year's Six Bowl? Or are you going to be going to the Cheez-It Bowl? Are you going to be like just random bowls, right? And I don't know if Cheez-It's in the cards for the SEC or anything, but man, life has changed for OU Parker so very much in a 4 week span. It's crazy. Just absolutely wild. I don't know. Thoughts on that? Like, I just, it seems weird that we're talking about it. I mean, I think that's where I'm at. No?
It seems weird that we're talking about what?
Like just the playoffs, just because of where Oklahoma was in October.
I mean, to me, the important thing here for Oklahoma is that they just continue to take it one week at a time, because you're still playing in the SEC, still playing in the deepest, most competitive league in the country, where you can get beat any given weekend if you don't bring your A game. So I know, like, we're sitting here talking about the college football playoff.
Correct.
Hopefully, no one in that locker room is talking about the college football playoff. Hopefully, their full focus is on Missouri this weekend, because that is a talented football team and a well-coached football team. If you leave opportunities out there, they will capitalize. And so, this has got to be, over the last 2 weeks, we've got to see proof that Oklahoma is, as a team, cognitively ready and
Yeah.
cognitively prepared for what it takes to finalize a playoff push, not just put themselves in position, but to close the deal, to go and take it when it's right there in front of you. They've done the hard work, relatively speaking. These last two games, comparative to what they had to endure at Neyland Stadium and at Bryant-Denny Stadium, relatively easy. But how many times have we said that in the past about an Oklahoma team and a given opponent, and they make the easy stuff look hard? Don't make the easy stuff look hard this weekend or next. Keep the pedal to the metal. Take care of business against two teams that you should beat.
Yeah.
And don't demonstrate a flair for the dramatic, please and thank you.
Please and thank you. Just out of curiosity, with the pressers that you saw at Missouri today, And I tweeted out, I'm sure you saw some of the tweets that I put out, just kind of the video and audio. What Torian Pride said, does you, if you're Oklahoma, do you take that as kind of a slight?
What did he
So
say? I didn't even see
he
this.
kind of came out and said, essentially he's kind of making stuff up, like Oklahoma is saying all these bad things about Eli Drinkwitz. We see all the things that they're saying, and we've got to go out and we're gonna win, and all that type of stuff because of that. And we're gonna win for the program and for the fan base, like, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit. But that's essentially what he was saying. It's kind of like they're crying wolf. They cried wolf last year and they about lost to a 6-7 team. He obviously comes out and Eli Drinkwitz says something to the extent like, this isn't Bob's or Bob Stoops ought to know that, Oklahoma's not whooping Missouri's ass anymore or something to that. I can't remember the direct quote, but Bob Stoops was brought up and whoop ass was brought up about Oklahoma and Missouri. There's a lot of angst in this thing that, and Barry Trammell tried to bring up the whole rivalry thing, and to Brent's credit, he deflected like he should have, right? Missouri's owning it. They want it to be a rivalry. They're making this intense. That scares me a little bit. Because one team's coming in acting like they have something to prove, and the other one's just talking like it's business as normal. Sometimes that can get a little dicey. And Brent talked about complacency. He said they're two different things, and I get what he was saying, but I mean, is there something to worry about? Like, are you worried about this weekend a little bit?
Listen, it's a ranked SEC opponent. I think you would be foolish not to have some element
Yeah.
of worry that this could turn sideways because, yeah, if Oklahoma doesn't play a good football game, if they don't play a clean football game, if they make mistakes, Missouri's a good enough team to capitalize it. But on the whole, no, I think that's a conversation more ideally suited for our pregame podcast, which will be dropping Friday
Yep.
morning on YouTube and all of your streaming platforms.
Yep. All right. Well, Oklahoma's eighth. Right now they would be playing Notre Dame if, the college football playoffs was to start today on this great Tuesday of November 18th, year of our Lord 2025. But it's done, and there's a couple more rankings that are going to come out before all is said and done. Oklahoma wins. They're in. They continue to win. As Parker alluded to, probably about a 90% chance that they are going to get a home field advantage in the first round. Don't know who that would be. Right now, it looks like it could be Notre Dame, but there's also an odd that if USC beats Oregon, you get USC and Lincoln Riley at a home in Norman, and that would not would I would guarantee you that the playoff committee would make that happen some way, shape, or form. They'd make that happen for TV nonetheless. But that's a lot of topics, and there's three more drops, I believe, before we get to the actual final rankings. We're going to be talking about that every week as long as Oklahoma's in it. Every Tuesday night, we will be right here talking, discussing about the rankings, OU's potential future opponent, and having a little fun with it. If you're not subscribed to this YouTube channel, make sure you subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. If you're not subscribed to OUinsider.com, make sure you type in OUinsider.com in your URL. Go to the join now. $1 for the first week, plus you get The Athletic and all of On Three, not just OU Insider, all of On Three for $1 for the first week, and The Athletic complimentary on OU Insider and On Three for a whole year. So it's a 2-for-1 deal. Make sure you go there. Check us out. Lots of recruiting information. Just dropped a ton earlier today. Commits happening. We're going to talk about that on the live Wednesday night, and all good stuff's happening right now over here at the YouTube and over at OUinsider.com. For Parker Thune, my name is Brandon Drum. That's going to do it for this emergency college football playoff ranking version of the OU Insider Under the Visor Sooners podcast, powered by Riverwind Casino. You guys have a blessed night.